This episode of the View from the Rock podcast is brought to you by Sign Dog Northwest. They're your source for custom signs, banners, boat names, fleet graphics, and more. Custom design services available. This episode is also brought to you by Merle Inc., the premier custom home builder in the Clee Elm area and a proud featured home builder in the Suncadia Resort in Tumble Creek. And finally, this episode is brought to you by Rob Thomas Drywall, the number one drywall company in the Ellensburg and Kittitas County area. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. It might have been 70 days, but we're not rusty. We're ready to go.
We're ready. We're back. It's like getting on a bike.
Woo.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
You never forget.
Hey, my name's Ruck, and I'm here in the Yellow Dog Studios with Morgie and Papa Swappa. Papa Swappa, how are we doing?
We're doing great. It's a holiday weekend. We're on a three-day weekend. We have no school tomorrow.
It's not a snow day.
Mm.
It's hey, President's Day.
That's right. And if you are the age we are and you're still excited about a night that does not have school the next day.
On a Sunday?
I know. Oh, you're living life.
It's amazing.
To your best.
It's amazeballs.
Now, does President's Day actually honor any specific presidents or is it all of them?
I feel like at one point in time it had a direct correlation with George Washington and maybe his birthday.
Yeah.
Maybe we fact check that.
I feel like there were like a couple that are right around there.
The early presidents.
Yes.
The ones that
the
like.
The guys that are on the money.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I don't think we have pennies anymore. Have you guys heard about that?
I heard the penny cost like
it costs
four
more
cents to make one.
It costs more than it's worth.
We're done with the penny.
But why that's
but the nickel Canada? Also costs more than it's worth.
So that's amazing to me. And now everything is going to be rounded up. And it's if you have like $1 billion worth of goods and you're rounding up, that's going to be more billions of dollars. I think there's going to be a lot of rounding.
Hey, when was the last time you actually used cash?
See, that's another
issue.
I use cash
every day and I love cash.
You would.
Yes. I love cash.
You don't like a paper trail.
No. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want someone to hack me and like... It's happened to a lot of people that I know.
Well, you're looking at one of them.
I know. You get hacked on your credit card, your debit card. It's like cash.
Honestly, I heard today that there's...
Except for a concert.
There's somebody out there I heard today running a scam where they hack into your Safeway points.
What? That's crazy.
Oh, because I need gas points.
Yeah, and like somebody somewhere... is running a scam and they're taking your Safeway points so they can get a dollar off gas.
So they're going to get like $10 off.
Maybe.
Yeah. And so then their gas is free.
These hackers are probably all over the age of 60. Because
hell no.
Those are the only ones who really care about Safeway points.
No, any hacker is not above 55.
Well, this, yeah.
Ruck.
Can you hack on a flip phone?
I mean, It is a good point to make that if you are, I'm not going to say
no
old,
over
I'm just
60.
Saying the older you are, probably the better it is that you do use cash because the more transactions you make, you're not quite as good with the digital arena. So you're
I'm
decreasing
you
your
know,
risk
Ruck,
by using cash.
Whenever you need any money, I can help you out.
That's good to know.
Swap and I.
Hey, do you
if
know?
Your house ever burns down, wherever you have it hidden in your yard or whatnot, I have a lot of digital cash, so if you ever need that,
feel free
to come to me.
Mining. Hey, whatever. Do you know a cash operation that now is back in business?
Sportsbook.
Sportsbook
yes,
at the Swin.
Baby. And I went today. I cashed out $50 from the Super Bowl. And
you put down $1?
No, I bet heavily Kansas City.
Mm.
So I did really well.
I only lost $50, which is good.
Yeah, I made like $150, and it was I went heavy on the Eagles and the over.
Yeah, well,
yeah. So, like, what were some of the bets that you were making?
I bet on Travis Kelce over 45 yards,
ooh.
And he sucked ass.
Yeah, he did. He had two catches. One?
No, he had three for like 37.
Yeah,
I had
but just
yeah. Who would have thought?
Stuff.
Yeah.
I had Jalen Hurts' first touchdown.
Yeah, that was easy.
That's awesome.
Easy.
No, it's not easy.
What? Dude, Jalen he always Hurts, scores.
The first touchdown of the game.
Oh, that's what it was? First
yes.
touchdown?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying a touchdown
no,
at any point.
No, first touchdown of the game. So I had that Saquon in...
And he didn't score.
In the divisional or in the NFC championship.
First touchdown?
Yeah, Saquon. And I'm at the gym and someone goes, hey, have you seen the game? I'm like, no. I go, I have Saquon first touchdown. He's like, well, he's got the first two.
Oh, so you're good. So first weekend of D1 baseball, I'm probably going to run out there tomorrow. And rule of thumb is the later in the weekend you get, you bet the over in college baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa,
so I'm going to go with you.
There's betting on college baseball?
Oh, everything. Oh, you can bet on everything. Yeah, college baseball.
No, everything.
Yeah.
Have you ever bet on college baseball?
Oh, yeah.
I just bet $20 tonight that Oregon would cover and the under, and then Valpo will win 20 to win 140.
So
just for fun.
I was going to say, do you know anything about this?
No, basketball. No, I don't know anything. About those teams.
Well,
but Oregon can suck it.
Yeah.
Because Oregon sucks.
But you bet on them to cover?
Yeah.
So now you got to pull for them.
Well, no, but fine.
Okay.
But they're 8-point favorites.
Who are they playing?
Rutgers. Because you know they're Big Ten now.
Yeah. And Rutgers has a couple of guys that are really good.
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you who they are.
So do you remember Ron Harper?
Yeah.
His son.
He was a...
It's going to be a top five pick.
Wow.
And he goes, both his sons went to Rutgers.
I'll be damned. The State College of New Jersey.
Yeah. Because they lived there.
Huh. Ron Harper was a great bull.
Mm.
Oh, he was amazing.
Yeah.
And he was...
Glue guy.
He was a Cav.
Yes.
Before that.
Where did he play college? Was he Miami of Ohio?
Oh. Fact check.
He eventually went to Lakers, too, right?
Speaking of
the Lakers, how does that happen?
Well, before you got here, I was watching a little bit of the All-Star game, and it sucks. Sucks awful.
Yeah. You almost said something else.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's terrible.
And it does.
I hate the NBA now. And we don't have a team.
I maybe would like it more if we had a team, but I could care less about the NBA.
All my friends in Oregon, they're like passionate about the Blazers.
And they suck.
And I would. I would be.
Yeah.
We would be passionate about the Sonics if we had them.
I know. We'd probably care more, but I could care less about the NBA.
I could give
what do you got for us?
I agree. I can't wait till the Sonics come back because then I'll actually watch basketball again. In case you were wondering, listeners, what we were talking about, you were talking about Luka Doncic being traded to the Lakers earlier. Yeah, is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, but you got something on Ron Harper?
Yeah.
Ron Harper's kids.
Oh, shoot. You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I looked up Ron Mercer.
Oh, Ron Mercer. Yeah,
Kentucky.
Also a quality glue guy.
Kentucky.
But here we go. Ron Harper. He played for the Cavs initially, drafted by.
Thank you.
Then went to the Clippers, then the Bulls, and then finished his career with the Lakers. Thank you very much.
But where did he go to college?
Oh, yeah. That was what we actually wanted to find out.
Yeah.
Did you know he was also an assistant coach for the Detroit Pistons?
Yes.
I'll be damned.
He went to Miami of Ohio.
Oh.
Boom!
You know what?
Zim.
Suck it. I know everything about everything.
He was...
You know a little bit about everything.
I know, like, there's like a band of things that I know a lot about. How about that Leave It to Beaver thread the other night?
Ugh. Cameron Hunt. Speaking of, so we need shout out to the original listeners.
Yes, we do. And we got a list here, so we're not doing this off the top of our head.
And I think this list is brought to you by the Lake Campbell Lodging and Lake House. Yep. Business and property on Lake Campbell. It's been in the family for 56 years. Shout out to all our hardworking moms, wives, and small business community out there in Anacortes.
Hey, you know, we actually recommended Lake Campbell Lodging to another one of our sponsors last night.
Yeah.
Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he might be coming.
That'd be amazing. Not Matchbox 20.
No.
As we said earlier before we were on the air, he is the second.
He might be the greatest guy from Ellensburg. Other than Sign Doc.
They're tied.
Ooh, they might need to fight it.
But he is the second most famous Rob Thomas, unless you're in Ellensburg, where he is number one.
Yes.
And most of it is related to drywall.
Yeah.
All right, we got some shout-outs. First one is one you were talking about a moment ago.
Cameron Hunt,
yeah,
content creator, and the only guy I know that could send me a thread about Leave It to Beaver,
oh,
and it wouldn't be weird.
Wow, I was like, I was late to that game.
But did you ever watch Leave It to Beaver?
Yes, I did, every day.
So it was the greatest show in the world, and then Jerry Mathers, the Beaver, hit puberty, and then it wasn't good anymore.
Yeah.
So what was this thread? Because I watched Leave It to Beaver, but it was on Nick at Night, you know, like Nickelodeon stuff.
So I think he typed in to Xfinity search Leave It to Beaver, and there's like a Leave It to Beaver channel on demand.
Wow.
So he watched Leave It to Beaver.
For just hours on end.
Yeah. How do you know you're old? On a Friday night, you watch Leave It to Beaver.
Yes. Cameron.
Yeah, his kids, if they're listening to this, are just like cringing.
But you know what? It's like, this is what Swap and I would find at school, like in Eddie Haskell.
Yes.
Because we saw Leave It to Beaver.
I had to explain Eddie Haskell, the term Eddie Haskell, to my student teacher the other day. You know, basically, if you haven't heard of the idea of an Eddie Haskell, it's someone who, in front of adults, they'd say shines on, pretend to be a lot better than they really are, and then behind it, their back is, I guess, a little turd, a little bully.
Yeah, and that for a show to have a term
fake tough
that
fake tough.
Just and that is entered society lexicon.
Yeah,
most people know what an Eddie Haskell is.
Yeah,
and some of them don't even know where it came from.
No.
Another takeaway from Leave It to Beaver. When I was a kid, the parents looked so freaking old. And now they look like younger than me.
And everyone's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And you come home and you sit down at dinner.
And
there's a drink handed to you.
June Cleaver brings him a drink.
That does not happen. No, that's not what happens.
And he takes off his suit top and puts on like a sweater.
You know what? Like, people can complain today about social media setting unrealistic expectations for people in general and what life is, but that was the social media of back then, creating shows that everybody watched because they didn't have anything else to watch.
Do you have any idea?
That was not real life.
What did Ward Cleaver do for a living?
Was he insurance or something like that?
He just went to the office every day.
And then came home.
And his boss was Mr. Rutherford.
So my grandpa has... fixed TVs in Anacortes.
See, that's when TVs were like 7,000 pounds and they sat on the floor.
Giant cathode ray tube.
You had the nice like trim around them.
Like
and,
wood trim.
It was the centerpiece.
Yeah, and the family picture would be on
like
top.
200 pounds.
And doilies everywhere. And if you ever had to move that TV... You needed like a pack of mules.
I don't know how to spell
it. And to change the channel.
How do you spell doily?
Just like it sounds.
Spell it for me.
Doily?
Doily.
I believe it is D-O-I-L-Y.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's how you spell doily. But aren't those like the little knitted things that would like sit under a thing?
Yeah.
Another thing?
They probably would sit on top of the TV and then you'd put... You know, like a little vase with some flowers on it.
The world was a better place when we had doilies.
And then you'd go to my grandparents' house on Sundays. And if you showed up at 6 o'clock, there was no talking because it was 60 minutes.
Oh.
And Star Trek.
Oh. Do you remember watching NFL?
Like, this is before, like, 1985.
Do you remember NFL on Sunday when they'd show the 60 Minutes ad?
Yeah.
And you were like, that means school's tomorrow.
Yeah. And then Sunday mornings, CBS basketball.
Oh, with Al McGuire.
Celtics.
Billy Packer.
Lakers.
Yeah. Tommy Heinsohn doing the NBA games.
And
Celtics
Rock,
were on
Rock
every
was
Sunday.
Two.
Probably not even alive. You know, some of those old sports broadcasts still to this day have the best intro music. Like the NBA on NBC. Yeah. That music is dynamite.
What's his name? That guy. The guy that did it. Dun,
dun, dun, dun, the guy that did the music or the guy that did the...
The music.
Okay, what about him?
And he also did like Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, like he did a bunch of them.
On NBC.
I don't know.
He's the guy that did that music.
Well, hey, I'll find...
Who did the NBC music?
Yes. Well,
I'm going to play the...
So, NBA hey, real quick, a few shout-outs.
Yeah.
Roscoe, he's got the beer of the week tonight.
For episode one.
Yep. We might do two.
We're we'll thinking it about goes. It.
Sign Dog.
Hey, awesome. he was our first guest.
And I saw a text tonight that he has a sign somewhere like at a professional event down south.
Another Ellensburg grad.
Did you see that?
No.
Oh.
I haven't been on social media today. I've been watching. I've been in a gym all day.
Jack Curtis, Mithin.
Hey,
Guy Mitchell, Dave Harris.
Rooster.
I'm going to play some intro music for these people you're about to announce.
Yeah. I told you. This is it.
Oh, I'm ready to dunk.
So, tell me his name.
I didn't look that up. I don't care. I want to know the music.
100%. He was on.
You ready to rotate up? You ready to rotate up?
That's so good.
Yeah.
So was that NBA on NBC?
Yes. Yeah.
Like Marv Albert's coming onto your screen in 5 seconds. Did it
also did like he was all about the celebrity guys. Like you would know exactly when I tell you. When Ruck tells you.
It's by John Tesh?
Yeah, John Tesh.
I have no idea. This is like news to me.
Do you know who John Tesh is?
You know what the name of that song is? Round Ball Rock.
So he's made millions off that. John Tesh. You know him?
No.
Look right now. Look.
I'm going to Google it right now. You guys need to talk while I Google.
Hey, speaking of, last night, you know, we played Linden a little tough. But I saw a guy, Tom Anderson, he's taught for 40 years in Burlington, and he said, when are you guys going to come back for an episode?
I had no idea he listened.
I know, me either. So, hey, you know what, Tom? Congratulations on retiring this year.
Hey, the next 30 seconds are specifically for Tom Anderson, who may be the winningest coach in the history of middle school basketball.
Yes.
And it is all owed to having big guys playing some sort of bizarre press in the smallest gym in the world where lesser skilled middle school players went to die.
He does have the greatest out of bounds play ever. Ever. A box set.
Yeah.
On the bottom, you fake screen the guy and turn around.
Oh, I think we tried a variation of that when we were coaching.
100%.
Yeah.
And it's wide open layup.
Yeah, because when you see a box, you are genetically engineered to think that everybody's going to screen across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah. He was, in all seriousness, when I say he's the greatest middle school coach.
Darren Camps was there too.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, he taught at LU as well.
Yeah.
And he goes to all the games.
And did I hear that this is Tom Anderson's retirement tour?
Yes. And he said he will never be to any party.
I'll be damned.
He goes, if you go to a party, you'll be without me. Happy, fun time, Tom.
Happy Love retirement. You. Burlington legend.
And we will not say what he always says about Burlington kids.
No, we won't say that.
No.
So, yeah, we played Linden tough last night. Should we get into some
John
high school basketball?
Tesh, Ruck, he did like the show on CBS at like 7 o'clock.
Like he was the host of the show.
Yes, he was the host of that show. Like,
what it says is it? That he hosted Intelligence for Your Life TV?
No.
So, according to Wikipedia, he wrote the NBA and NBC basketball theme, Round Ball Rock, and he's married to Connie Selica.
Yes.
He hosted Entertainment Tonight.
Entertainment Tonight, yes. He was on
Oh, yeah. Man, I used to love Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
You know, Leonard Maltin would come on and review movies.
Hey, speaking of the 90s, that's why 1993 is our music.
That's a great year, right?
Oh, year I graduated.
Yeah, so today's episode, we are going to be getting into the musical genre from, it's albums from and songs from 1993. And then we got, I think, a couple beers of the week, and we have a top three breakfast. However, we're going to see how this goes. We may, if this first part goes so long, we may just make this the first episode, and you might be able to see that in the second episode.
John Tesh played keyboards for Yanni.
So we forgot a couple people.
Who'd we forget?
We forgot a lot of people.
We forgot a lot of people.
No.
I think there's people listening that are hoping their names are called, and we're gonna lose listeners. Who do we forget?
Tara. Tara, I love you.
She's our number one fan. And yeah. She's my number one fan of us.
Yeah. And you know what? Tim and hers team, all the girls, they won the championship today at Port Angeles.
I'm going there in 2 weeks.
I know. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
This was just a tournament that they won? Yeah. Not like the state championship?
No.
The Port Angeles tournament is a rite of passage.
Yes.
For parents.
Yes.
More than
everyone
for kids.
Needs to go there once.
Yeah.
And I've been there three times.
And you need to go there and have a tournament schedule that does not jive
with
the ferry schedule.
Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner. Speaking of which, at some point,
to the Black Bear Diner?
We're going to have.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Doesn't it sound amazing?
It does.
Unless.
Dude, it's got good food.
Are there other Black Bear Diners across the nation?
Yes.
Because I've been to one in like Redding, California.
Yes.
Okay. Then yes.
There's definitely one in Puyallup.
Big time.
Fun fact.
It's like just a standard kind of food that I don't think you're disappointed by, but you're not ever impressed by.
Speaking of breakfast.
Yeah.
A top three, maybe on episode one, maybe on episode two.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Is going to be top breakfast.
That's true.
Yeah.
Who else we got for shout outs?
Did you mention Eric Mithen?
Yep.
Okay.
Dave Harris.
Got
Guy
mentioned.
Mitchell. Anyone else?
I mean,
Hugh
my
Pierce.
Sister, Hugh Pierce.
You know, if we're just naming everybody who listens to us, our tens of listeners, then yeah, there's probably only a few people left, right?
Ruck, you got anyone?
Like
your brother? My
mom.
I know Amberard, listener.
Okay.
Emily Fisher, listener.
Yeah.
That's about all the people I know who listen. That's my contribution.
Well, I know Andy doesn't listen, so Andy can suck it.
But he was a guest on the podcast.
That's true.
Well,
for like 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Hey, so what's next with basketball? So we kind of talked about the Linden game a little bit, did we?
Well, we lost. We gave up 51, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Like if
like that was really good, right?
If you script a game and say, okay, keep them under 52.
Yeah.
We could.
Then you have a chance.
Yeah. We have a hard time scoring. So.
Especially against them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really good.
They're a machine.
They're good.
They're big and their little guys are big.
Yeah. And they're tough, physical, and they just bring guys all the time.
And they're so well coached, structured, disciplined. So, I actually have a ton of respect for him.
So where are we at in this whole basketball playoffs then?
So because of the inequities and injustice of the state, we only get two berths. So two teams coming out of our district tournament. And we're, as you know, in all sports, we're the best district in the state. So now we have lost one game. So we need to win three in a row to move on.
And our next game is against?
Archbishop.
And they're 6-16.
Oh, so not good.
But they're in a 3A league.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Our league is better than that league.
Yeah.
But
so we win that one.
And that's
then we're
going to
play
Squalicum or Burlington.
I think Squalicum.
So
Burlington's best player last night, compound fracture, broke his leg.
That's nasty.
He's out 6 months.
Yeah.
So, and then if we get through that one, probably Lakewood. I don't see them beating Linden.
No.
And so it's, you know, doable.
We can, yeah, it is.
It's already, doable.
Didn't we already beat Lakewood this year? Or it was close?
Guess what? We're going to win. Let's go. I feel it.
I like it.
We lost to Lakewood.
Close, though.
But it's a winnable game.
Yeah.
Lakewood also plays it. They play really hard, and they do a great job.
But we played them at Lakewood.
So
play at Mount Vernon. Hey, so, our kids have played there for 12 years.
It's our second home. Archbishop, is that's got to be like a Wednesday game or something?
Tuesday.
So we're Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday if we win.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's,
it'll be fun.
It's doable, but it's hard to win three in a row.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's doable.
Yeah.
I have a question that's for the two of you as basketball coaches. What are you doing on a week like that where you got Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday games and I guess practices in between? But like, what does that look like?
I think your practices are a lot of prep work for your opponent and trying to manage guys not being sore.
Shooting.
And so on like Monday, you're kind of going, hey, here's what the team does that we're going to play tomorrow. Like if they're a zone team or a man team, what sets they run on offense. And then you kind of like just walk through that stuff.
100%. And,
yeah.
And then just getting shots up and.
Yeah. Pretty light then.
Yeah.
And don't want it to be a long practice.
Well, and I think one thing is because our season started so late, that we've played the whole season like that.
Yeah.
Where it's
a lot of games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we've had, I mean, I think in the last 3 weeks, we've had a couple times where we've only had 2 days in a row practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
tough. It's, I mean, I'm excited. I think we can do it.
I think we can too. I really do. And I think the kids think they can do it.
No, it's awesome.
You know, you saying that makes me think that it's actually an advantage that we've been basically having to deal with that all year long, whereas other teams have had longer stretches of time and not used to the idea of I'm playing three games this week.
Yeah. You know, having coached baseball where you get through districts or you get through regionals and then you have a week off, that is a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, where you have so many practices that it can get stale. And, you know, that's, I think this way, there's a rhythm to it and there's some positives to it.
Yeah, I would say that what you're saying is 100% right. And I see that even in the sports I coach when, like, whatever it is that you're doing, as long as it stays that way and doesn't, like, change and then change back, that's the hardest part. So, like, you know, say in throwing and track and field, the first 2 weeks, obviously, it's a grind. It's just practices. So you mix in stuff when you can. Then you get your first meet, and then you start to adapt to that schedule of, okay, we got one meet this week, maybe two. We're going to get a couple good days in, some rest, compete. And then when you get one of those weeks thrown in there, whether it's coming off of spring break or it's just like – it's a grind. It sucks.
And that's, you know, one of the challenges of coaching is how do you explain this to the kids in a way where they feel like they have a program and a set routine and this is how it's going to look. So I think in that regard, we're kind of set for this.
Yeah. No, I think I'm excited. Tuesday.
I don't want it to end.
No. Tuesday, Thursday, and let's go Saturday. It's like, hey, and the pressure's on them. Like everyone I've talked to would be like, you want to lose and then come in instead of Lakewood losing district championship.
Yeah, it's, you know, and the psyche of a 17, 18-year-old high school boy is, you know, when you're in the loser's bracket and you win a game, the difference between how you feel after a win and how you feel after a loss is
huge.
And you get kids that
they... And last year, we did it.
We did. That's another thing is our kids are hard... Because we're here every year.
Yeah.
We're hardwired for this season to go long and know what that feels like.
Oh, I'm excited. Ruck, are you excited?
He wasn't before, but he is now.
Yeah, I talked myself into it.
Hey, we have a special guest right now in the studio, Mr. Morgenthaler.
Yep. Mr. Rob Thomas. So do we need to take a break before we go to the beer?
Yeah, we can do that. We can take a break right now.
Okay.
We're going to have our beer of the week. And based upon where we are in the episode, I think that we are going to achieve what the goal was, and that is a tight 45 for this. We'll finish this episode up with a little chat about the beer of the week for this episode, and then we'll have episode two after.
Hey, for you listeners out there, a tight 45 is podcast talk.
Yeah, 100%. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. We took a little break because we had a special guest join us. Jason, who's our special guest?
Mr. Rob Thomas, one of our sponsors from Ellensburg.
Matchbox 20, lead man.
Thomas, not Matchbox 20.
The most famous Rob Thomas in Ellensburg.
Yeah.
Connection is... buddies grew up with another one of our sponsors, Brad Moore, aka Sign Dog.
His daughter is dating my son.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love's in the air.
I wasn't trying to make that happen.
Going on 7 months.
Oh my God. Dang. They said it wouldn't last.
You know, if your kids listen to this podcast, they'd be pissed at you probably.
So they're right now watching a movie in Bellingham.
What are they watching?
Dinner.
I hope the Zeppelin documentary.
No, because that's not there. Because we were going to go there.
We were.
I think Hayden said it was their first time watching a Marvel movie.
What is that?
What? Correct?
Correct.
Maybe?
Yeah. Correct. Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, note to Brennan, don't take your girlfriend to a Marvel movie.
No, they're having a great time. It's fun to see Rob and Nicole in town. Had a great time at the casino today. And so, what do you think, Rob?
Oh, it was a great time at the casino.
Yeah.
So, you were telling us that one of our sponsors, like we mentioned before, Brad Moore, is, some people may not know, a world-class BMX racer. Maybe you shouldn't say is, but was. What were you telling us about his racing career?
He was great. He was, he was eight or nine, and he was number one in the world.
That blows my mind.
Number one in the world as an eight-year-old.
Yeah.
So,
and went all over, South Africa?
Yeah, he's been everywhere. Yeah.
And you mentioned that if you were to search up Brad Moore BMX, you might find some sort of YouTube clip. Is that what our listeners need to do?
Yeah, you could probably find an ESPN clip or two with Brad on it. Yeah.
Wow.
We thought Brad was big time already, but
he was kind of mid.
He doesn't but he doesn't talk about this. This is the humble side of Brad we don't know.
No, this is the Brad that lived in Ellensburg.
Okay.
Not the Anacortes Brad.
Well, it's good he's humble about something, because we are very aware of how many shows he's been to.
Every now and then put something on Facebook or on social media of BMX and just all in. So I love it.
Wow.
That's incredible. So what made Brad so good at racing? Did he just have gigantic calves and thighs and he was way faster?
He was, let's just say he knew how to race. I raced him a couple times and I definitely didn't win. Came in second a couple times, but he kind of knew how to cut you off.
Yeah, of course Brad's a cheater.
So, yeah, I was going to say, is that is all within the scope of the rules? There's got to be rules, I assume.
Oh, hell yeah, there are.
It's totally
just
fair.
Like motocross. The whole shot, you make it first.
Or is it like NASCAR? If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
So is it like kind of elbows out?
Hey, speaking of today, was the Daytona 500.
Was it?
Yeah.
I
turned it on for 10 minutes, and it was a rain delay. So
Exciting.
Can you name three people in NASCAR?
No.
Name one.
No.
Yeah, you can.
I cannot. Current?
Yes, you can.
Current? Jeff Gordon.
No. Current.
No, I don't know any.
Rusty Wallace.
No.
Ricky Bobby.
Danica Patrick.
I don't know any. I don't.
How about AJ Allmendinger?
Well, that's a person?
His name is Allmendinger?
Yes.
Oh my God. I love him.
That's my favorite.
You got any?
No. Not an NASCAR fan, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's big
so
time.
I think the Daytona 500 just ended right now because it was a rain delay.
Are you a NASCAR guy?
No.
Can you name any NASCAR people?
I can name a few.
Who? Rattle them.
So I did AJ Allmendinger. You have Bush brothers.
Ryan Bush?
No.
Bush?
Jeff Bush?
No, the Bush brothers.
Like
Revenge of the Nerds?
No.
Sponsored by Bush?
I think I can. Oh, really?
Yeah. So what do we got next?
I think that we're supposed to talk about our beer of the week, aren't we?
Yes.
Our beer of the week is Dead Guy Ale from Rogue Brewing. It is brought to us by
Roscoe.
Yeah.
Metcalf.
And tell some
details
about it.
Who is top 5 listener?
Oh,
love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So he got this beer from Oregon.
Newport?
When he was visiting his son.
Who goes to Oregon State.
Yes.
Are those places near each other?
No. It's okay. Like an hour and a half.
Newport, away. Is that on the coast?
Yeah.
He might have been also parlaying that into a work trip.
Yes.
But we're not really sure what he does for work.
I think he...
Ross is self-employed.
He does like gaskets and pneumatics and things. We're on refineries often.
Flanges?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, are you ready?
Hit me with it. Beer? I want to hear about SMR or SRM.
Oh, wait, just wait.
What do you want to hear about?
I'm going to blow your mind, Swap. There's a new thing that if you look on your can, hold on a second.
It's also on the
box. This is a West Coast style IPA, bold hop aroma with citrus and pine notes. Robust bitterness balanced by light malt sweetness. Crisp finish with lingering tropical fruit notes. This is a 7.0 IBV.
That's a heavy beer.
ABV.
Oh, yeah. I said I. Sorry.
Well, it matters because we're getting into the letters here. So.
69 IBU.
Very nice.
Untapped. Gives it a 3.9 out of 5 with 15,000 reviews. It has a 9 SRM swap.
I have no idea what SRM means.
I know. Ruck?
Standard revolutions per minute?
No.
Okay.
Shoot. So.
I don't know what it means.
No.
No.
So this is new. This is the first time we've ever had this on a beer can.
SRM.
Yes.
A little ASMR on the channel.
So hold on. Let's enjoy our first taste.
We'll crack it.
Oh, that tastes really good.
Man, compared to what I was just sipping on before, it is very different. Very different.
That's a big beer.
Ooh, it's very malty.
Yep.
Is the M in SRM malt?
No.
Damn it. So
I had to look it up today. This is awesome. You're going to love it. SRM stands for Standard Reference Method, a scale that measures the color of beer.
Oh.
The American Society of Brewing Chemists, ASBC, developed the scale in 1950.
1950?
Yes.
You know what I love?
So here's...
Go ahead.
It measures how much light is absorbed by a beer sample at a specific wavelength.
It sounds like something that
so could, 0 to 80.
Sounds like something you could do in a science class. Wouldn't that be a fun experiment, kids? Let's see what the SRM of this is.
But
what, be more wait, fun what? Than looking at a leaf under a microscope.
Yeah. I mean, why don't you test how much light's in a beer?
I mean, and like in order to not get fired, you could probably do like sodas or other things that would keep you with a job.
So the lowest SRM number means a lighter beer.
And this is?
Nine. This is like, well.
It's a nine.
Yeah. Out of 10?
No.
Out of 80. Out of 80?
But here's the deal. It's stupid. They say the heaviest, like Guinness, like, or any of those beers are like a 45. So we've never seen an 80. So anyone out there can find an SRM of a beer that's 70, we would love to try it.
So would that be like you are behind the glass of beer with a flashlight and you cannot see light?
Hmm. Must be.
Correct.
So yeah. If you were behind a Guinness with a flashlight, could you see light?
But they would say that Guinness is a 40.
I can't imagine anything. That is so black.
Well, now it just makes me want to get a Guinness and put a flashlight up against it.
You know, Guinness is surprisingly low in alcohol.
Yeah, isn't it like 4.8 or 5.0 or it's around
something
there.
Like that? Yeah.
And it's also low calorie. Like it's a like if you're trying to make healthy choices and still have some beer, it's not a bad
healthy
option.
Choices.
Well,
choices.
If you want the illusion of health, how about that,
honey? Pick up a pack of Guinness on the way home.
Yeah, we're making healthy choices tonight.
Hey, speaking of, you know, Mike. Our pickleball buddy, we had his beer from Maine.
Yeah.
He's getting a Guinness keg in 2 months. And then I guess Brad used to like be a Guinness connoisseur or like have a Guinness job.
So Guinness is a beautiful beer. When you pour it, it is aesthetically beautiful.
Yes.
The head, it has that caramel tone to it.
Hey, in the studio right here, raise your hand if you have a pouring certificate from the Guinness factory in Dublin.
No listeners, one raised their hand.
In case you couldn't tell, I raised my hand. You know, the person who doesn't ever leave Anacortes and doesn't travel. I've been to the Guinness factory, and I've learned how to pour a beer. So there. Put it on the record.
So you poured a real Guinness.
Yes.
So can you tell me one thing about pouring a beer right now that I don't know?
Honestly, they made a big deal about pouring the beer onto... So that instead of using a pint glass, they use those, like... I don't know what the name of them would be. Those glasses we've all seen that get a little bit wider towards the top.
Yes.
So, like... Trying to hit that bend
the
in the
Guinness
glass.
So,
yeah, the Guinness glass.
So the shape of the glass
is
does,
purposeful.
Does the thing that we do when we turn the glass at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
Because it's skinny, and then it goes wider.
And they want, I believe, it to hit there to help separate and aerate the beer. I think that was their thought process. And then as it starts to pour, then you've got to like start turning it at the right time so you don't get too much head.
Okay. Yeah.
They were like watching you as you poured it and we're like, okay, up, mm-hmm. up, okay, up a little more. Like it was pretty cool.
So I'll be damned. That's interesting.
Yeah. So what do we think about this beer? I would point out that my first comment was I thought it tasted malty and they have a star in it that specifically says malt flavor is the lowest factor.
I think it tastes malty too, but yeah. Like maybe it's because it's an IPA and I don't usually associate IPAs with maltiness, but it's a heavy beer. This is a beer that's really good. Mm-hmm. It would be hard to drink a lot of these.
I would drink maybe two.
Yes. I think this would be a beer that you have at a nice dinner.
Yeah.
And I think it would go with, well, let me just stop myself there and say, Mr. Morgenthaler, what would you pair this with?
Wow, I was thinking about that. A very nice...
Don't say flank steak.
No, it's going to be the best steak that you've ever had.
Can I just tell you guys about a steak I had the other night?
Yes.
Yeah.
I went to Vagabond. Well, it's not Vagabond anymore. It's
Rachel's Alibi.
Yes. They had a steak dinner special. It was one of the best steaks I've ever had.
Wow. Is that like your favorite place in town?
That baffles me.
It was so good.
I didn't even know they had steak on the menu.
It was a special. And it was a New York steak, so it's not like the most expensive cut.
Yeah.
They cooked it so well.
I'm shocked.
And I don't mean well like it was cooked a lot. I mean,
their process was cooked good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Bad grammar.
Are you a rare guy? Medium rare? Medium well?
I'm like medium or medium well. I know like steak people.
No, you're not. Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were like medium rare.
Well, I'm like medium.
So, medium. You know, eschewing all those words. Instead, let's just talk about the color. What color are you looking for inside? Are you wanting it to be like very red and bleeding? You want a light pink? Like, what would your description be?
I want in the middle a sliver of red and progressively less red as you work from that sliver outward.
So you want actually a gradient. You don't want it all be the same.
Correct.
Interesting. Jason, how do you like your steak?
Medium rare. And it's going to be amazing.
Would you want all steaks like that? Like, say, prime rib versus a steak? Same thing?
Everything. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But prime rib, I want more rare.
Yeah, Why? That's what I would think.
Yeah. So,
Rob?
Medium rare, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, I asked this to my dad the other day. I said, what meal would you want to have for the rest of your life? Or versus what meal, if you could have any one meal, would you have? And I think you chose steak for both of them. But for me, it definitely, I don't know if I could have steak every day. That was my thought in the dichotomy of that question is like,
man, have we done top three meals?
I mean, we've talked about a lot of meals. In fact, next episode, we'll be talking about top three breakfasts.
I know. I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I'm sorry, but like, if my best steak is a filet mignon, like a filet, period, and it's medium rare, and like even my family members that hate medium rare steak, they will eat it.
If it's filet.
Oh, it's just,
I would say,
beautiful.
People don't like steak. They like a filet. Like, it's something about...
No, because like T-bone texture or ribeye, like my buddy Tim. Oh, did we say Tara?
We said Tara.
Okay. Hey, Tim Tara. Loves a ribeye. Like, loves a ribeye.
No.
It's fatty. I don't like a lot of fat. Like, a lot of fat.
Tim seems like a guy that would overcook his steak on purpose.
Just to screw Tara.
I love you, Tim.
He would. Yeah.
And at least he's not putting it in the microwave, though, right?
No. But a nice filet, oh, it's so good.
So on the steak I got...
No, I'm sorry. Filet on a filet. It's medium rare.
Hey, you know what I just realized? We're kind of right now talking about top three types of
breakfast.
Steak.
Oh, yeah.
That's really what we're talking about right now.
So top three steaks.
And our idea of having a tight 45, we're currently at 48, just so that we're aware.
So do we want to tie this one?
So I think we need to tie it in a knot. Do we want to decide whether this Dead Guy IPA is a one or a zero?
Oh, it's a one.
Oh, one.
One? Yeah. Rob?
It's a one.
It's a one.
I've only had one beer that was a zero.
Tara?
Yeah.
Tara?
Tara can suck it on that one.
Well,
Rob, just so you know, beer was... Like, what did it taste like, Swap?
It wasn't good.
It tasted like...
I almost said 10 things and none of them were appropriate.
You know, what I would say, listeners, is that you might think that we're being...
It tasted like all the fruit and all the vegetables that went sour.
Wow, vegetables even.
With malt.
Yeah.
You might think we're being hyperbolic with how much we talk about how bad that beer was. It wasn't just because it was Tara's beer. It was legitimately a really off-putting beer that I couldn't finish. Like,
you
it
said
was bad.
Off-putting.
I yes. think somebody said...
Just say it sucked ass.
No, we would say, when we asked what you would pair it with, somebody said the garbage can.
well,
love you, Tara.
On that note, this has been our first episode back from our 70-day hiatus, and we'll have another episode up shortly. It's great to be back. Everybody out there, be safe. Good night.
So we didn't talk. Are we off the air?
What?
Are we off the air?
I didn't hear you. What?
Are we off the air?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about high school state championship.